morning's reading is from Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 27 to 47, the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The musicians also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Naphtalites, from Beth Gal, and from the area of Gerba and Asmareth, for the musicians had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. When the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the walls. I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on the top of the wall to the right, towards the Dung Gate. Hosaniah and half the leaders of Judah followed them, along with Azariah, Ezra, Meshullam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, as well as some priests with trumpets, and also Zechariah, son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his associates, Shemaniah, Azarel, Milaniah, Gilaliah, Mei, Nethtali, Judah, and Hanani, with musical instruments prescribed by David, the man of God. Ezra, the teacher of the law, led the procession. At the fountain gate, they continued directly up the steps of the city of David on the ascent of the wall and passed over the site of David's palace on the water gate on the east. The second choir proceeded in the opposite direction. I followed them on top of the wall, together with half the people, past the tower of the ovens to the broad gate, over the gate of Ephraim, the Jeshanah gate, the fish gate, the tower of Hananel, and the tower of the hundred as far as the sheep gate. At the gate of the guard, they stopped. The two choirs gave thanks, then took their places in the house of God. So did I, together with half the officials as well as the priests. Eliakim, Masniah, Miniman, Mackaniah, Eloaniah, Zechariah, and Hanani, with their trumpets. Also, Masaniah, Shemaniah, Eleazar, Uzziah, Jehoiakim, Malajah, Elam, and Ezer. The choirs sang under the direction of Jezreeliah, and on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. At that time, men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the contributions, first fruits, and tithes. From the fields around the towns, they were to bring into the storerooms the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah was pleased with the ministering priests and Levites. They performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did also the musicians, the gatekeepers, according to the commands of David and his son Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there had been directors for the musicians and for the songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. So in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, All Israel contributed the daily portions for the musicians and the gatekeepers. They also set aside the portion for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside the portion for the descendants of Aaron. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning. Well, I hope you're enjoying these readings from Nehemiah. We're nearly at the end of them, and next week will be the final one. What will we do for big and complicated words after that? Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that we will indeed be dedicated worshippers who love your word, who love to sing your praise, who love to come before you in prayer. So teach us now through your living word that we may be better worshippers of your holy name. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, that reading from Nehemiah was indeed the dedication of the walls of Jerusalem. The work was completed and they wanted to give thanks in a suitable manner to Almighty God for his goodness and provision and guidance through it all. And it's hard to believe that it is 8 years ago that we reopened and rededicated our cathedral. And that was truly a great day. And on the screen now, you'll see a picture of the cathedral. It's from the front of the magazine after that reopening and rededication. And it's just looking splendid there. And the next slide shows all the dignitaries who gathered together. Bishop Allen there in the centre and the Mayor of Lisburn. We have the architect, Des Cairns, our glebe wardens, John Humes and Paul Duggan. We have the builders, the Dean of Connor at the time, John Bond. I'm there. And a very young-looking Simon Janot in the background there. And part of our aim was indeed that we would be open every day. And a big part of that we see in the next slide, the coffee room there, ready for the first people to come in. And we so look forward to having it open again when it's safe and good to do so. We really do want to be open every day for people, that they are able to come in and be in a place of worship and just know the presence of God. And that's what our coffee room was all about. It was about providing cake and coffee and a place to meet Christ. And we need to hold to that vision. And what about the service itself? The next slide shows us all gathered there, a great congregation gathered to worship, all packed in. And at the front there, you see our own choir and music group and the Lisburn Ladies Harmony Choir joining them there. My goodness, we were all so close together in worship and giving thanks. And indeed, it was a service of reopening and rededication of Christ Church Cathedral, Lisburn, on Sunday, the 2nd of December. And the order of service was all about being ready and capturing the vision of using this building for the purposes and the vision that God had given us. So our service began with our vision verse, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." In other words, we are there for the city where God has placed us, that we want to be a prayerful presence for the Lord in it, and we want to see it prosper. And it is as important today that we are that presence, that we are that open door, that we are those people who are alive to God, who want to seek the peace and prosperity of the city. May we have a renewed sense of calling to that. And it was indeed a day of joy, and One of the things that we did right at the beginning of the service was to use Psalm 66 to shout out our joy to the Lord. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the glory of his name. Come and see what God has done. How awesome are his works. And we were so wanting to give thanks. How awesome are his works. Praise our God, all you people. We were all together as we praised him. Sound aloud his praise. Amen. How wonderful. We came to dedicate the building, to worship with joy and gladness, and to celebrate the magnificent efforts of all involved, and to give thanks and celebrate God's enabling, without which all of this work over two phases would have been impossible. Our purpose was clear, and it was the same as Nehemiah 12 and 27, to celebrate the dedication and of God with gladness. Psalm 24 reminds us that we are to come to worship with clean hands and a pure heart. And that is my first point for us. Come with clean hands. And there is no better time for this message than today, because everywhere you go, we are told, wash your hands. It is the message of the moment. I think my little grandson, Elias, is the king of washing hands, because when he comes in the door, he washes his hands. If we go anywhere, there's hand sanitizer. Well, then he's the first up for it. And so as the people came, they not only washed their hands in Jerusalem, they washed the walls, they washed everything, they purified from top to bottom. It was a symbol of needing cleansing before coming to dedicate the walls and to worship. And for us today, we are to wash our lives by turning from sin and by being cleansed by Christ as our Lord. And one of the great symbols of this is baptism. But why then did the Lord Jesus need baptism? Luke 12 and verse 20, he said, I have a baptism of suffering to go through, and I must go through it. Well, what he was doing by being baptized was by identifying with us, by taking our place, that we need baptism, so he was baptized. We need cleansed from our sins, and so he wanted to be one with us, and he was baptized. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 explains it more fully. It says, he was made sin for us. In other words, for us to be cleansed, he had to be our substitute, and he had to be one with us. It's known as substitutionary atonement. He took our place, being cleansed and baptized. Psalm 24 and verse 4. We are to come with clean hands and a pure heart. It is only by faith alone, in Christ alone, that we can be washed of our sins. Psalm 51. Wash me then, and I will be whiter than snow. And after coming with clean hands, we are to come with a song on our lips. And how God loves to hear his people's praises as they come with a song on their lips to give thanks to him for his goodness, for his mercy, and for his love. On the screen earlier, you saw that wonderful image of the service of reopening and rededication of the cathedral. And remember the choirs and the singers all crowded together at the front. We were maybe needing another extension even before we dedicated this this reopening. But at the dedication of the walls in Jerusalem, it was even more chaotic because they had two choirs, one with Ezra going south around the city and the other with Nehemiah going in a northerly direction around the city. And they were making a great noise. They were playing cymbals and trumpets and harps and lyres. And imagine the noise as they met these two groups of musicians. And then we're told later in chapter 12 that they did everything in accordance with the command of David and his son Solomon. That means that they went around singing psalms, and they sang, no doubt, lots of different psalms, possibly ones like Psalm 48 and verses 12 to 14. And it reads this way: "Walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end." Many other psalms would have been sung, and in worship we are to come with a song on our lips. We are to come to honour God in this way, where Holy Spirit gifted people with a passion to play instruments and sing use their gifts for that purpose. That those who have skills in technology to produce good visuals and good quality sound do so. That those with organisational and leadership skills use those skills to enrich the intelligent and deeply felt praise of the people of God, to enable them to worship in spirit and in truth. And the sung aspects of worship should complement the teaching and the prayers as God's people give praise to his holy name. So let me encourage you today to think about offering your skills, to come with a song on your lips. And maybe I can take this occasion to particularly encourage men to come and join our worship teams. If you can play an instrument, if you have a skill in singing, let me encourage you to offer yourselves to worship God and to lead his people in worship. May Ephesians 5 and verse 19 encourage you to come with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all of our hearts. Come with a song on your lips. And then thirdly, come with a grateful heart. Paul's encouragement to sing in Ephesians 5 is grounded in thankful hearts. As he says, singing and making melody, giving thanks always. And Nehemiah, in a similar way, tells us the choirs celebrated the dedication with gladness and with thanksgivings and with singing. They are further described as those who gave thanks later on. And when they arrived in the temple, Nehemiah describes the worship as similar to that which had been offered in the days of the first temple. He said, "For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there were directors of the singers, and there were songs of praise and thanksgiving to God." Verse 46. This was a gathering filled with joy and gratitude to God. The walls were completed, the people restored to being true worshippers, full of gratitude for God's goodness. And this is a lesson for us today. Knowing Jesus should mean we want to sing out our gratitude to God for his grace in saving us from sin and death. It should cause us to sing loudly enough that others will know of our gratitude to God, who died in our place
and who gave us eternal life. And isn't it a joy when we hear children in particular singing with real abandon, singing out loudly and giving thanks to God. And we so look forward each week to Kidzone joining us and singing songs of joyous praise. And it's such a good start to our worship. Let me encourage all ages to come with a song on your lips. It is a gift of the Spirit to show gratitude to God and to sing his praise. Maybe the lyrics of this song put it particularly well. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. May we give thanks to the Holy One. And fourthly, come with a generous attitude. Nehemiah 12, verses 44 to 47 is also about generosity. So gratitude and generosity go hand in hand. And the people showed a strong commitment to their community and to their leaders. They generously supported the priests and Levites, those who looked after the temple, and the musicians by bringing their gifts. This wholehearted giving with thankful hearts came from their obedience to the word of God as taught by Moses and David. The reference in verse 47 to the days of Zerubbabel, which was a century earlier, shows that this was an ongoing attitude and reaction by the people of God. Now in chapter 13 next week, we will find out that they unfortunately soon fell away from being grateful and generous. And it is because of the fact that we can fall away from being generous to the work of God, from being generous to others, that throughout Scripture there is an ongoing encouragement to give regularly to the work of God. And that is an act of worship. And it's something that we're encouraged to do cheerfully and with enthusiasm. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7 and 8. Each of you should give what you've decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Can I encourage you to give generously to God's work? And can I also say that if you are in any kind of need, we would love to support you in whatever way we can. So please only give if you're in a position to do so. If God is blessing you, well then please do give generously. But equally, if you are in any need, please contact me or Danielle, and we would love to be of support to you. We are able to call on resources throughout this city and through the church to support people who are in genuine need. So please do that. Come with a generous attitude. And as I conclude, our theme today is to come. To come means to enter in, to draw near, and to move forwards. And that is what Nehemiah and the Israelites did as they dedicated the walls of Jerusalem. It is what we are to do as we come to worship our wonderful Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So come, enter into worship online or in person. It doesn't make a difference. Come prepared. Pray for our worship beforehand. During our worship, seek God in prayer. Let God inspire you through our times of worship. And Secondly, enter into the teaching. Don't be put off from delving into the riches of the word. So make notes, put down some key points, even note down the one thing that is spoken to you and put it in a journal or keep it on your phone that you can refer back to it. And then enter into a great story. Now, some of us will remember great stories from the past. Maybe the one that sticks out is when man first landed on the moon. And there was great excitement at that time. Maybe soon we'll be landing on Mars. And yet, a greater story is that God has landed on Earth. That he is here in person. That he gave himself for you and me and for everyone. And because he has come and he has died for us, we can have eternal life through putting our faith in his Son. That is the greatest story, a story to tell and to share as we give our lives to Christ as a true offering of worship. So make it your goal to be everyday worshippers. To come, first of all, with clean hands. Secondly, to come with a song on your lips. Thirdly, to come with a grateful heart. To come with a generous attitude. The dedication of the building in Nehemiah is all about giving thanks for the endeavours of those who worked so hard. And it's about the God who, by his Spirit, enabled it to happen. And for us, 8 years ago, it was the same. To give thanks that God enabled it to happen and to honour those who had put in so much hard work. But God's enabling meant that it happened to an even greater degree than we ever imagined. In the service of reopening and rededication on the 2nd of December 2012, Bishop Allen prayed for the worship, witness and staff of Lisburn Cathedral. And as I close with that prayer, it is a prayer for each of us. Even at a physical distance from each other, we are those who are to dedicate our lives to be true worshippers. So for this to make sense as I pray, please do close your eyes and imagine you are in the cathedral as I lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, who compels and calls us to pray, who meets us in prayer, we come together as your body, the church, to dedicate this Christ Church Cathedral to your glory. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this place of worship with your presence and power. Come, Lord Jesus, hear our prayer and hear the prayers of those who come here, who lift up their hands to you. May all who come here find sanctuary in this place. May they find comfort and solace for their souls. May they know their prayers are heard and answered. May their faith be strengthened, their love refreshed, their hope encouraged. May the experience of prayer and teaching in this place enable them to be disciples, that they might follow you in the way that leads to eternal life. And may their discipleship be a witness that invites others to new life in Christ. We pray this together, Lord Jesus, as your children. Amen. Amen.